नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय योऽनुग्रहार्थं भजतं पदामूलम् अनामरूपो भगवान् अनन्त नाम्नामि रूपाणि च जन्म कर्मभिः भेजे समयं परमा प्रसीदतो योऽनुग्रहार्थं भजतं पदमूलम् अनामरूपो भगवान् अनन्त नाम्नामि रूपाणि च जन्म कर्मभिर्देशे समयं परमा प्रसीदतो Please chant. Yonugrahartham bhajatam padamuham Annami rupo bhagavan ananta Namani bhupani cha janma karma bir Vijay samayam parama prasidatu Ladies, please. Yah, who, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anugraha artam, to show His causeless mercy. Bhajatam, to the devotees who always render devotional service. Padamulam, to His transcendental lotus feet. Anama, with no material name. Rupa, or material form. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ananta, unlimited, all-pervading, and eternally existing. Namani, transcendental holy names. Rupani, His transcendental forms. Cha, also, Janmakarma B, with His transcendental birth and activities. Beje, manifests. Saha, He, Mayam, unto me. Parama, the Supreme, proceeded to, may He be merciful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms, and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship His lotus feet. Thus He exhibits transcendental forms and names with His different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. Purport. In regard to the significant word Anama Rupa, Sridhar Swami says, Prakrita Nama Rupa Rahito Pi. The word Anama, which means having no name, indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name. Simply by chanting the name of Narayan to call His son Jamil, Ajamil attained salvation. This means that Narayan is not an ordinary, mundane name. It is non-material. The word Anama, therefore, indicates that the names of the Supreme Lord do not belong to this material world. And similarly, the form of the Lord and His appearance and activities are all non-material. To show His causeless mercy to the devotees, as well as to the non-devotees, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this material world with names, forms, and pastimes, all of which are transcendental. Unintelligent men who cannot understand this think that these names, forms, and pastimes are material, and therefore they deny that He has a name or a form. Generally, when people hear a name of anyone, John, Jim, Jake, Alan, Rose, Mary, they just figure it's just names, and one name is no better than the other. It's just to identify some. But what is being said here is totally different. What is being said here is that the name of God is not merely Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Rose, and Julie, and whatever. It has potency. It has power. And Lord Chaitanya has mentioned this in the Shikshastika prayers. O my Lord, Your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings.
And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental potencies. So this is mentioned by God himself playing the part of the devotee, that God has incarnated in his very name, making it special, making it potent, making it so powerful that when it is recited without any offense, it has the power to liberate, to deliver a person from the thraldom, the chaos, the tumult of this material world. So we are very, very we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has been so gracious to bring this holy name, or all these holy names of Krishna, Rama, Nrisinga, Vamana. He has brought them to our ears and to our lips and to our tongue. And he has blessed us unlimitedly as a result. Therefore, we are eternally and very deeply, if not infinitely, in debt to him. What a great day it was when Srila Prabhupada set foot on this part of the world. When he set foot in Boston Harbor and then came to New York. So many millions of people were to be blessed just by getting this holy name in the form of the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because persons like myself and possibly yourself are blind to the to its depth, to its strength, to its greatness, because I don't have the spiritual eyes to see what is truly within it, but I accept it on the authority of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that it is very great. And I have seen for my own life and the life of so many other devotees the transformations that have taken place as a result of chanting this great holy name, Radha Krishna, Hara Krishna Rama. And so Srila Prabhupada has delivered to this country the greatest and truest wealth that there is in existence. The means, the method, the way to return to our original transcendental form and enact or engage in the pastimes with the Lord in the spiritual world. What a benediction. What a blessing. What greatness has been bestowed upon us. We can never be thankful enough. Considered with scrutiny, this purport, the conclusion of non-devotees who say that God has no name, and that of devotees who know that his name is not material, are practically the same. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name, form, birth, appearance, or disappearance. But nevertheless, he takes his birth, janma, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim svam arhishtaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although the Lord is unborn, Aja, and his body never undergoes material changes, he nevertheless appears as an incarnation, maintaining himself always in the transcendental sage, Shuddha Sattva. Thus he exhibits his transcendental forms, names, activities. That is his special mercy toward his devotees. Others may continue merely arguing about whether the absolute truth has form or not. But when a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, sees the Lord personally, he becomes spiritual ecstatic. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Actually, he has nothing to do, but nevertheless, he has to do everything. Because without his sanction, no one can do anything. That's a very, very important point. Without his sanction, no one can do anything. The unintelligent, however, cannot see how he is working and how the entire material nature is working under his direction. His different potencies work perfectly. How could anything go on? This light is burning by His grace. I am speaking by His grace. I am sitting up by His grace. You are all listening by His grace. The trees are growing and producing leaves and flowers and fruits by His grace. All food is coming into existence by His grace. Where can we look even for a fraction of an inch where His grace is not manifesting? When we are receptive to His message, that is His special grace. Because when we are receptive to His message, it enters into the heart and begins to work. And it transforms our understanding. It transforms our behavior. It transforms our activities and makes us more and more like Himself. Actually, every devotee should be praying to be a perfect reflection of both the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. As Krishna says, in one who has unfailing devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. So if you have unflinching devotional service to the Lord, and we're thinking of the Lord, and we're understanding how great He is, how wonderful He is, then His good qualities as a result of our connection, our contact, our association with the Lord through His holy name is manifesting through us. So Krishna has given us this incredible benediction that He is within His name. And when we touch His name with our tongue, with our voice, all the good qualities of Krishna leach into our being, into our heart, into our mind, into our intelligence, into our body. We are doubly and triply and quadruply blessed. No question about it. Otherwise, why would you stay here? There's something great, something wonderful, something amazing going on through this chanting process of the holy name. And that is one of the great qualities of this, what we call Kali Yuga, or the Iron Age, or the Age of Quarrel. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can overcome all of the impurities and be promoted to the spiritual kingdom. The impurities that we carry as a result of living in the material world and acting like materialists. So Krishna is mentioning that this age of Kali, although it is full of obstacles and difficulties and trials and tribulations and problems, nonetheless, it provides the easiest way to go back home, back to Godhead. In earlier yugas, earlier eras, persons, for example, in the Satya Yuga, when people lived for 100,000 years, so they would take 40, 50,000 years to achieve what a person in this age can achieve in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years. Because Krishna has made it easy. That is His special mercy. He has made it easy for us to come to Him. Lord Chaitanya says, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for these names. Who of us does? And so we pray, we beg, we plead, we yearn, please Krishna, purify my heart so that I can have more and more attraction to your holy name. And by that attraction, by that chanting, by that absorption, I can come to love you truly and purely and share that love wherever I go, with whomever I speak. Help me. How can I help anyone unless I have your special mercy? So we pray, we plead, we beg, we cry, Krishna, help. And when we chant the holy name, we chant it the way Srila Prabhupada instructed us to chant it. He said we should chant it like a child crying out for its mother. When a child cries out, he cries with such desperation, like it's his last breath. and it goes, it doesn't stop. You can't stand it. It's so devastating to the ears. So you go over and you look at the child. You look, maybe he wet himself, or maybe he's got a safety pin in his. And you check it out. You see what's going on. But if the child just goes, you don't take any much attention. Oh, how cute! He's making such gurgling little beautiful sounds. It doesn't call your attention. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that we should have that same desperation, as if we have only 5 more minutes to live. Suppose Krishna came, he jumped off the altar, and he says, "You got 5 minutes to live." What would you do? You start chanting at in a desperate way, "Krishna, please save me, help me. I haven't done enough good works to truly satisfy you. The quality of my work has been so terrible. I beg your forgiveness and help me to love you purely, to serve you purely, and to never even have a thoughtful of sin again." He would cry out desperately. And when we cry in that manner, the Lord, like a mother picking her child up in her arms and hugging the child and kissing its head, the Lord does the same thing when we are actually so helpless, when we are so desperate, when we are so crying out. We realize how small, how insignificant, how incapable we are, in spite of the fact that we may have done, quote, many wonderful things. A devotee knows that anything wonderful that he has been done as the result of Krishna's mercy. He never takes the credit for himself. He always gives the credit to God, to his spiritual master, and to all the devotees who have assisted him. Like when we have Rath Yatra, Svavasi thanks everybody. He goes for 5 minutes thanking this one, that one, this one. This is the sign of the Vaishnav. He doesn't take the credit for himself. He knows he could never have done it without the help and the assistance of all the other helping devotees. And ultimately, he goes to Srila Prabhupada and says, "Thank you for enabling me to do what I did. I could never have done it without your special grace." And then he goes and says to Lord Nityananda, "Thank you for your mercy, for your grace." And then to Lord Chaitanya, "Thank you so much. I need so much more." And then he goes to Srimati Radharani, "Mother, my dear divine mother, thank you for blessing me and helping me. I beg that you please continue." And then he goes to Krishna, flings himself at his feet, holds on in a desperate way. "Oh Lord, never take these lotus feet away from my fallen head." And so this is the way devotional service goes on. It goes on in the mood of love, which Srila Prabhupada has so beautifully, how so lovingly and kindly transmitted to us. So I'll continue the purport. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Actually, he has nothing to do, but nevertheless he has to do everything, because without his sanction, no one can do anything. The unintelligent, however, cannot see how he is working and how the entire material nature is working under his direction. His different potencies work perfectly. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natatsamashchabhyadikashcha drishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. That's from the Vatashvatara Upanishad, the 6th canto, 8th chapter. He has nothing to do personally, the Lord, for since his potencies are perfect, everything is immediately done by his will. Persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not revealed cannot see how he is working, and therefore they think that even if there is God, he has nothing to do or has no particular name. This is impersonalism. Why does a person act like this? We may question, maybe we act like that sometimes. I'm not saying anybody does. But why should a person act like this? God has no name. God doesn't do anything. As it says over here, persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not revealed cannot see how He is working, and therefore they think that even if there is God, He has nothing to do who has no particular name. Their eyes have not been smeared with the salve of love of Godhead. That salve enables us to see how Krishna is working here, there, and everywhere. As I mentioned at the very beginning of this talk, you go outside and you see the trees, you see the leaves, you see the flowers. You look up and you see the rain, you see the sunshine, you see the sunset, you see the beautiful blue of the sky, you see the birds flying through it, and you say, ah, there is Krishna's beauty manifesting all over. Krishna has made these beautiful clouds just so that I can think of Him. Krishna has made this beautiful bird just so that I can think of Him. Krishna has made this beautiful man or this beautiful woman just so I can think of how beautiful He is. Otherwise, what is their value? Everything must reflect back to the original Supreme Lord. Sometimes I hear persons say, oh, I don't want to be attached to this material world. This material world, if I look at the sunset, I'll get contaminated. If I look at the rain, I'll get contaminated. If I look at this pretty girl, I'll get contaminated. You're already contaminated. Because you're not seeing God in the material nature. And He is the source of all, of everything. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual form. He's the origin of all. He has no other origin and is the supreme cause of all causes. Everything we see, everything, every beautiful piece of music we hear, the beautiful art that is around us, this is a tiny reflection of Krishna's mercy. Krishna says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there for all this detailed knowledge? By a single fragment of myself, I support and sustain this entire universe. So Krishna is saying, you're looking at all little fragments of me. And if we see everything from that point of view, every praise that somebody gives you, every pat on the back that somebody gives you, whenever we receive something that we perhaps do not deserve, or that has been done especially, we should be thinking, this is Krishna's mercy. For example, there are two devotees, Leela and Loka. On Friday, they prepared this incredible feast. It reminded me of the old days, back in the 70s. Nobody's asking them. Nobody's paying them to do this. They're doing it out of love. And when your tongue is just literally quivering on its pivots, think, Krishna, this is your mercy. This is your special cooking ability. And thank you for letting me taste it. Billions and trillions of people will never get a chance to taste this. But I, for some incredible, amazing, unanswerable reason, you are allowing me, a fallen, wretched, worthless, useless, good-for-nothing worm, to taste their incredible cooking. Normally, I just taste what's on the ground. But today, Friday, I get a chance to cook a wonderful, to taste a wonderful feast which they make up. The last few weeks, they've prepared this feast. I felt duty. I felt obliged to them. I had to give. I gave them one of my recordings of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then another one, because it induced such a feeling of affection and appreciation in me. We should all be feeling that same way. When a devotee goes out of his way and does something beautiful, don't be afraid to say, thank you so much. This is Krishna's love coming out. If you don't do that, then your envy is still locked in. That's how we overcome envy, by appreciating, by glorifying, by adoring, and by emulating. If we do this, then our spiritual career gets better, it gets higher, it gets deeper and stronger. Actually, the Lord's name already exists because of His transcendental activities. I'm reading. The Lord is sometimes called Guna Karma Nama because He is named according to His transcendental activities. For example, Krishna means, what does it mean? Yes, all attractive. This is the Lord's name. Why is it all attractive? Because He is replete with all the opulences. He is most beautiful. He is most wealthy. He owns everything. He is most powerful, as we saw in the Govardhan Puja festival. He picks up a whole mountain with his, he's 7 years old, with his left pinky, and he holds it up there for 7 days and seven nights. You got to have a lot of power for that. You don't get that by going to Bali's gym. No way. So he's very, very powerful. He's influential. He's famous. 5,000 years ago, he was doing amazing things. People today are still talking about him in all parts of the world. And he's most knowledgeable. He knows everything. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He knows everything. And if we need to know something and we can't find it, we need only pray, Krishna, please help me to find it. And immediately He will tell you, go to Google. It's there. Because that's where I get most of my information. Yes, you go to Google and you'll Google it, and then you'll get the information that would have taken you probably sometimes days, if not weeks, to find. So Krishna has made all of these wonderful inventions, and if we use them in His loving service, more and more people will become exposed to the glories of Krishna. That is the only value. Prabhupada says the only value of this airplane is to take me around and to spread the holy name around. Otherwise, what is its value? Just to go from one place to another, taste this sense gratification, go to another country, taste another sense gratification. These things lead to no permanent satisfaction, only temporary, momentary, here today, gone tomorrow. But what does the soul really want? It wants permanent satisfaction. Permanent. So how do we get permanent satisfaction? An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures of the senses have a beginning and an end. And the wise person does not take shelter of them. Pardon? Does not delight in them. What does he delight in? He delights in those things, those persons, like the great devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, like the Supreme Lord in all of His different incarnations. He delights in learning to love them. The process of loving them is the process of surrendering. As they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path. So as we surrender to Krishna, He gives us our reward. What does surrender mean? We give up our body, we give up our mind, we give up our intelligence, we give up the soul itself. Full surrender means I'm ready to give up my life at any given moment. As long as Krishna snaps His fingers and He says, go, you have to dive off this building or you have to go into the fire. And you have no hesitation because you know whatever Krishna will order us to do will be good. Even Arjuna, when he was told to kill Karna, he hesitated for a few moments. Because Karna was on the ground trying to pick up his chariot, the wheels of which were stuck in the mud. So Krishna says, yes, go kill him now. He says, but his wheels are stuck. I said, kill him. And then Karna interrupts and says, how could he kill? That's illegal. It's improper. Then Krishna sounds off one evil act after another that Karna had performed. He goes on for about 5 minutes. And then Krishna winds it up by saying, and you demand just treatment? You're such a wretch, so evil. Arjun, kill him! He really shouted it. And he went out. Boom! And Karna, he had the mantra that he could have killed Arjun with. It was called the Brahmastra. But he had been cursed by his weapons guru, Parashuram, to forget it because he lied to his guru as to what his caste was. He told his guru he was a Brahmin so that he could get teachings. If his guru would have found out that he was a Sutta, which is considered a mixed caste or an outcast, he wouldn't have taught him. Dronacharya wouldn't teach him even on that basis. So when finally Parashuram found out, he said, I have given you many, many weapons. One day you will be fighting with someone who is equal to you. And you will call for the mantra of the Brahmastra, but you will forget it, and you will be killed by him. He didn't mention who he was, but we find out at the end that it was Arjuna. So we can just see when we are trying our very best to engage in devotional service, not thinking of the results, but trying our best to get the best results, crying out to Krishna for help, assistance, guidance. And when we receive that, and we do something nice, so many wonderful Harinams going out, Krishna is so pleased by these Harinams. Ganesha is so nicely organized. It was so kind of unorganized going back a few years. But he took up this wonderful cause, because Srila Prabhupada wants the Harinam out. And many of the devotees who go out with the Harinam, they distribute the books and the magazines, the literature. So people know the Hare Krishna mantras. They have not either gone out of style or gone out of existence. They're here to stay. And they know this down on the Santa Monica Mall. So this is very, very wonderful. And we should all, to the degree that we can, cooperate with these persons who are leaders and give them our full cooperation, give them our help, give them our assistance, and give them our encouragement. Because if we don't give them our encouragement, they may not be that strong. I'm not saying Ganesh isn't. I'm saying that any of us may not be that strong to carry on, that we may need to be enthused. Of course, a very advanced devotee, he goes on no matter what. Whether you kick him, you curse him, you reproach him, you rebuke him, you spit on him, he says, I don't care, I'm going on. Nothing can stop him. He loves Krishna too much. And that's what we all have to aspire for. That incredible degree of divine love, so that whoever criticizes us, looks down upon us, kicks us or spits on us or whatever, we don't care. We are instruments, we are servants of the Supreme Lord. And it's what Krishna thinks in the ultimate analysis. Not what he thinks, she thinks, the newspapers think, the press thinks, the TVs think. It's not what they think. It's what Krishna and his pure devotees think. That is all we should be concerned about. Whether it rains or pours, whether we get sunshine or we get snow, it's irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is Srila Prabhupada has established devotional service. This is what Krishna wants.